splendid stuff. You're listening to Southside Broadcasting, Channel 1, of course, for Hospedia and beyond with sirenonline.co.uk and, of course, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Pasta and flying to the moon. The amount of spaghetti eaten by Brits each week is enough to get to the moon and back. And we're delighted to be able to welcome a professional British chef extraordinaire. That would be Theo Randall to the airwaves at present. Theo, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Very good indeed. Now, again, as the proprietor of Theo Randall at the Intercontinental... You see, I can't even say it with excitement. The Intercontinental Hotel, London Park Lane. You've clearly got a sense of what's happening when it comes to food matters and issues. So, as we prepare to celebrate World Pasta Day tomorrow, is this something which you think, hurrah, it's great, or you think, no, I thought it was all going down the line of chicken kormas and various other sort of processors?
I think it's fantastic to celebrate pasta. I mean, you know, the fact that we've got a World Day on pasta is brilliant because I'm very passionate about pasta, so much so I've actually written a book on it. But, you know, I think what's interesting is how Italian food has taken over this country so much and how British people just love eating pasta. I mean, you know, there's the survey done by Ask Italian on British eating habits on pasta shows that 26% of us eat pasta once a week at least.
Which, I mean, let's just test that. We've got two fine folk in the studio. One of them, of course, is the full-time chaplain of the James Cook University Hospital up in Teesside. That's Reverend Marie Edwards. Marie, in your family, pasta?
Yes, absolutely. My daughter, who is 14, loves it, would live off it if she was allowed.
Do you ever throw spaghetti at the wall to check if it's cooked?
No, I just eat it and see if it's cooked like that. If it tastes good, I put it on my plate.
Yeah, I mean, Theo, this is still a survey that over a fifth of those admitted that they would throw spaghetti at the wall to see if it's cooked.
Well, they can throw it at the wall, and if it sticks to the wall, it's definitely overcooked. And I think, you know, the thing is that people in this country are not cooking pasta, respecting the pasta as they should. And I'll just run you through a very easy way of cooking pasta. Have a pot of boiling salted water. Let's say we're cooking spaghetti. You've got a packet of spaghetti. It says 10 minutes to cook. Cook the pasta for less than the packet says. So let's say 7 minutes. And let's say you make a very simple tomato sauce, a garlic, olive oil, basil, and tomatoes. Cook the pasta for 7 minutes. Instead of taking the pan over to the sink and pouring it into the colander like you would potatoes, take the pasta directly out of the pasta. It is still undercooked. And then put it into the sauce and add a couple of ladles of the pasta water. And then just let the pasta carry on simmering or cooking in the saucepan where your sauce is, or frying pan where your sauce is. And that way the starch will be released and it will slightly thicken the sauce and you're in complete control. If you do it the other way and you're putting it into the colander, what happens is the steam is hot and boiling water. So the pasta becomes congealed and overcooked. And you end up with this sort of massive amount of pasta and very little sauce, because traditionally people tend to cook more pasta than they actually need. It's much better to have a smaller quantity of pasta, cook it really nice in al dente with a nice chewiness to it, because it's not just about the flavour of the pasta, it's also about the texture as well. And if you've got a bit nice texture of the pasta, it tastes so much nicer.
You see, that's why you're a Michelin star chef. Now, we also in the studio have the fabulous Rob Nichols, who's editor of the Fly Me to the Moon fanzine. And when you allow for the fact that the amount of spaghetti eaten by Brits each week is enough to get to the moon and back, you can see the connection we put here, Theo, in that sort of sense.
I want to know who measured that. Did someone stand there with a lot of spaghetti?
It's a definite thought. I couldn't believe that actually 7% of those surveyed believe that pasta was invented by Mr. Pasta. Surely it will be Signor Pasta.
That's brilliant, exactly. Exactly. And the worst thing I saw on this was that fact that some people actually cook pasta in a kettle. Can you believe it?
A kettle?
Yeah, they put pasta into a kettle. I mean, can you imagine making a cup of tea after someone's made the pasta in the kettle?
We clearly need to polish our pasta knowledge for the whole routine. I mean, Rob, are you a pasta person?
Yeah, well, I like to do a bit of running, so obviously pasta's a good thing to eat before that, isn't it?
Took part in the Great North Run this year, Theo.
That's very good. And the thing about pasta, it is great for running. Actually, I had someone in the restaurant a few weeks back, and they were about to do the half marathon in London a couple of weeks back, and I said to them, look, when you get to about 10 miles, just think of the pasta you're having, the cappelletti. And he sent me a very nice sweet note saying the cappelletti got me through the last 3 miles.
Yes, that's clearly a routine. I think, obviously, Rob, you need to get in touch with Theo to get that added.
But
a final sort of factor that sort of comes through in terms of the pasta sort of influence that's actually there. A quarter of those surveyed believe that the pasta sauce named carbonara derives from pasta being typically high in carbohydrates. It's extraordinary what these sort of surveys reveal, really.
I know. It actually makes you realise that we don't think enough about or know enough about it. We just take it for granted. And I think, you know, if you paid a bit more attention to what you're eating and you know, look at the different, respect the pasta, then, you know, you'll start to use different shapes of pasta. They always say there's a sauce our pasta that matches together. You know, I would say if you have a plate of pasta and you're eating the pasta and the sauce is still in the bottom of the bowl when you're eating the pasta, then it's the wrong pasta for the sauce, or the wrong sauce for the pasta.
But certainly in terms of classic sort of routines, the number one factor for me are those people. I think almost 1 in 10 of those surveyed believe that spaghetti bolognese originated from Spaghetti Junction in Birmingham.
That is
brilliant. Yeah, it's amazing. Theo, how can people actually, is there an online way in which people can actually find out the facts about pasta or get more information from your good self and so on?
Well, if you go to Facebook, Ask Italian, I've got a whole list of how to cook pasta, my top tips on cooking pasta, so check it out.
Well, that, I think, makes every perfect sense in every sort of way. Okay, two final questions for your good self. Theo, have you had a reasonably interesting debut on the show today? Has it worked for you?
It's been great, yeah, it's been nice.
Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, we always like to ensure that we look after our chefs, Rob, don't we?
Yes,
you know, across the
definitely.
Otherwise, William Sitwell will be most annoyed. He would sort of be furious with the whole thing when we actually do his regular weekly slot. So the next critical thing for you is, can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the not-too-distant future?
Well, I'd love to, and William's a good friend, so pass on my regards.
We will indeed. In fact, I'm thinking, actually, we might get the two of you together on the show sometime. Maybe come down and visit you in London, see both Theo Randall and William Sitwell. It's phenomenal, you know? It's a way to go. Theo Randall, we salute you. Many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thank you very much, Alex.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to LincolnInspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 300 grams of magnesium,
300 grams of magnesium, could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com, probably the best download decision you'll ever make.
Now, we were speaking earlier with Steve Burbridge, of course, who's doing some fantastic stuff in terms of not only sort of looking after the Eva Cassidy story, but also a playwright in his own sense, which is fantastic stuff. And we're delighted now to be able to welcome a young man who's one of the leads, of course, in the current production that's going out and about. He's obviously a trained soul from Bretton Hall. We're talking about the fabulous Jamie Brown. Jamie, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
It's a delight in all sorts of ways. Now, Jamie, tell us about the play you're actually doing and how, in a sense, we're starting this campaign after it sort of launches in Tyneside and how it's going through ahead of World AIDS Day in terms of how we might be able to obviously spread it and get it on tour, etc. So share with us the role itself.
Well, the play is testing times and I'm playing the role of Chris, who is the partner of the character who is diagnosed as HIV positive in the play. And it's a really touching, genuine script. And obviously, it can be quite a sensitive subject. It's very personal. It's got some moments of real humor, some really sensitive, lovely moments as well. And I'm really looking forward to getting it on its feet. Obviously, it does center around HIV. And people being diagnosed HIV positives and the trials and tribulations that brings for not only the person themselves, but the family and loved ones of those who are diagnosed as well. So it's a really important thing to be part of. And I'm looking forward to getting started.
I'm getting a real sense of energy amongst young creative folk in Tyneside as well. Obviously, we mentioned Steve Burbage doing great stuff. Are we actually entering a new age of Tyneside talent here to sort of succeed the likes of your Jimmy Nails and company from times past?
I would like to think so, yeah. I think I firmly believe that there's always been a lot of talent around on Tyneside, but like you say, the amount of talent does seem to be growing and growing with each year that goes past. So just hoping we get another golden age that brought the likes of those fine actors that we've seen. And it would be a joy to be part of if that did happen. But I think there has always been a lot of talent around.
I would say so, and certainly obviously in Teesside, Middlesbrough as well. In the studio, we've got two fine folk. We've got Reverend Marie Edwards and, of course, Rob Nichols. Rob, we're always keen to obviously support plays and a variety of other pieces. Questions for Jamie about his role as Chris?
Did you... Obviously, we've got quite a lot of prejudice at the moment about Ebola, of course, in Africa. Mm. And
Ebola is the new AIDS. Only kidding. It's just a line entirely, but still.
Yeah. But it's quite an important time to do this, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously, especially with Ebola and conditions that have come about more recently, as serious as they are, it's also important not to forget the ones that still exist. And in researching testing times and my role as Chris, it was really interesting to note that over the past 10 years, diagnoses of HIV among young people 16 to 25 in the Northeast regions actually risen. So as well as all of these other conditions that are coming to light, it's important that we don't forget those other ones and keep those in education and get the word out there that although these conditions are more controllable, then they haven't disappeared and there's a very real threat that still exists.
Marie, obviously you're working in the health service, obviously from the spiritual point of view as full-time chaplain. Thoughts from yourself on how this play can actually help kind of, again, raise awareness and consciousness of that whole process?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important that we do our best in, by any means possible, to break down the barriers that are there, not just with to do with the illness, but with in the past it's been linked to people's sexuality and things like that, and just to be able to get rid of all of those myths that are surrounding things like HIV or AIDS or any other illness. And obviously things like play is linking to people's emotions. It's hard, easier to connect with the actors and the actresses and things that are taking part, and the way they portray the characters that they are meant to be. The humanity part of it and the emotion part of it is a lot easier when you're looking at somebody on a stage rather than when you're looking at them on a screen. Brilliant.
It's the power of empathy and all sorts of things.
Yes.
Jamie, I'd be remiss not to actually mention that obviously since training at Bretton Hall, you've gone from obviously featuring as the recruitment officer for the BBC's World War One at Home series, but interestingly enough, roles that have ranged from Hamlet through to Scooby-Doo.
So
I've got to say, what was the Scooby-Doo piece about? Please share with us.
Warner Brothers and the AEG theme star did a recreation of a Scooby-Doo episode, a feature-length one, on stage. So they tried to transfer the show, as you would see it on TV, directly to stage with all of the ghosts and running around and the mystery machine and all of that business.
You'd got away with it if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
That's it, exactly, yeah. So that was exactly it. It was a ton of fun, and I did that at a lot of number one theatres around the UK for the best part of a year, and I had an absolute ball doing it and just being idolized. It was almost like a rock concert going around, and there was just screaming in the auditorium when Shaggy and Scooby and the gang got on stage. So it was amazing stuff, and I went straight from that into a production of Hamlet. So we made a bit of a joke of going from one great Dane to another.
genius, exactly. And of course, keeping that sort of theme going for the animals, you've got a wolf, of course, because you're appearing as the prince in Little Red Riding Hood at the Customs House Theatre, South Shields, this Christmas. So great stuff there. Of course, as well as being part of the associate artist of the award-winning 1623 Theatre Company, tickets presumably for the South Shields Customs House Theatre, Little Red Riding Hood, will be going like hot cakes, so to speak.
There will be. I can't wait to get started. Yes,
it's brilliant stuff. Jamie, a quick plug, of course, testing times. Remind us in terms of where the performances are. They're currently based in Newcastle. I know, as they were speaking with Steve about possibly doing some touring as well from that point of view, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre has sprung to mind. When's the next?
Since it's tryout, we're progressing now to a studio theatre, the People's Theatre Studio in Newcastle. And we're performing from the 17th to the 20th of November. Tickets are available from the box office, which is 0191-265-5020. Or if you check out online, there's lots of publicity going around as well. So if you check out testing times at the People's Theatre Studio in Newcastle.
Brilliant. Jamie, it's been a genuine pleasure connecting with your good self. We're going to scoot along to hopefully sort of speak to a slightly different sort of folk here. That would actually be Robert Llewellyn, who's due to talk to us about mobile phones and a whole heap of our setups, of course, the presenter of Scrap Heap Challenge and Crichton and so on. But have you had a recently interesting telephonic debut on the show today? Has it been okay for you?
It's been fantastic, yes, it's been great, lovely to speak to you, and hopefully a few of your listeners might come along and we'll see them at the performance.
We can only continue to spread the word. Jamie Brown, Chris, of course, in Testing Times, and of course, yes, the Scooby-Doo connection, outstanding, that's it, this has won it for me. We will speak again very soon. Take care now. Will you be up for joining us in the not distant future? Maybe we can do a piece on the South Shields sort of pantomime.
Oh, of course, yeah. I'd be more than happy. Please get in touch. That'd be lovely to spread the word. Yeah.
Yay!
Hello, little man. I know you're only a baby and maybe a little young to be making a choice that'll affect the rest of your life. But while your dad's out, I think we should have a chat. You see, I'm your mum and I have to give you my best advice. I'm also a Borough fan. I go to every game that I can. They're my team. Have been all my life since my dad took me to my first game, when I was about your age. There's been ups and downs, good times and bad. But I wouldn't change a minute of my life as a Borough fan. And this is what I need to ask you.
Should I take you to the next game? All right, I will. Then you'll be a Borough fan too.
I'm fine.
We'll tell your dad. It's character forming.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down.
And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
There's something which comes from the surreal world of radio interviews, etc. When you take one call, it comes in another side, another thing, and in the end, you end up sort of with the legendary Robert Llewellyn agreeing that, well, it's all good for Sundays. Robert, what can I say?
I felt very rude listening in, but it was quite amusing.
Well, fantastic. A delight to actually touch base with the good stuff. Of course, you famous. I feel as though we are not worthy. It's almost like that Wayne's World moment when they meet Alice Cooper. Delighted to connect with you, good self. And
okay,
and of course here to talk together with presumably Tom Barr, who's in there as well. Is that right?
It's not Tom, it's co-founder Russell Hall.
It's co-founder Russell Hall, excellent. Okay, well, Russell, delighted to speak to your good self as well. And a report that actually explores the changing usage of smartphones, because we're not talking on the phone, even though I've just demonstrated that when you're doing radio interviews, you can do two things at once. It's amazing.
You can multitask. I mean, it's not that we don't talk on them, but it just, I think it's... I was very aware of it, and it confirmed what I thought, is that we generally use our smartphones for a lot of other things before we use them as telephones. You know, I make very few calls, and I receive very few actual calls. People don't call me. They text me. They send a direct message on Twitter. They send a message on Facebook. You know, all those other ways of communicating, emails, all that stuff you do on phones now. Really, a lot of the stuff we'd have to sit at a desk and do it on a desktop computer. That, you know, we've moved on from that, and that's... And what I think what's emerging is the other uses that you could not have imagined if even 10 years ago. Particularly to do with maps, with location, with where you are, with who you're near, with who, where you're going, how you book things, how you order food, how you order cabs. In this case, you know, fascinating how that technology has emerged because of this, because of smartphones. You could have done it, I suppose, on a desktop computer, but it would have been a bit pointless because you're stuck there, you know, whereas this is wherever you are.
Mm. I mean, it's becoming very portable. I suppose wearables are the next stage forward. Yes. How you can send a text message through your tie, I don't know, but I'm sure it'll happen.
I'm sure that you'll be able to blink a text message and it'll just say something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, is this kind of for the benefit of society? I mean, what do you think, Robert? Do you think this is one, or do you think it's almost going too far? We're kind of losing that human touch.
I mean, I actually don't think so. I mean, I tend to be an optimist in this case, but, you know, while remaining, you know, I hope, healthily aware of the pitfalls, because there's clearly a downside to all technologies, regardless of what they are, and you know, it's up to us as human beings to adapt to that, to take advantage of it, because there are huge advantages, and to mitigate the negative sides as much as we can. So there are, you know, there's obviously issues around privacy and you know, data sharing that you don't want to share, all those sort of things. We've seen plenty of examples of it, but that often, you know, when that it sort of dominates the news feed, we often ignore the fact that there are enormous advantages that we very rapidly take for granted. We instantly go, yeah, it's normal. I know where I am in this city I've never been to before because I've got a map that tells me exactly where I am and tells me how to get to somewhere else. You know, it's very hard to remember that didn't used to exist. You used to have a thing called a map that was made of paper that you'd unfold and try and find your way around, and it was really difficult.
I've got to admit, I still use the A to Z when I go to it. Yes, it's still, yeah, I know.
You should carry on doing that. Well, that's charming.
Thank you. Russell, if we can turn to yourself, because we have Reverend Marie Edwards in the studio, and she quite rightly asked, what's Halo? I thought, it's a computer game. No, of course, it's more than that, of course. Because it's spelt differently for a start, but talk to us a little bit about Halo and its kind of connections with this whole area.
So, okay, it's a taxi app on your smartphone. We've just launched in Leeds. Just yesterday, so it should be up and running, beta launch I should say, but it is in London. We've carried 20 million people already since our launch in 2011. We're also in Manchester, we're launching in Liverpool, we're in Madrid, Barcelona, even as far east as Tokyo.
It's a success story, and anything that links Leeds and London has to be celebrated, surely.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, what it does really, it makes your life a bit more efficient. You don't need to run to an ATM, you don't have to leave the bar. Two taps on your smartphone, you get a registered taxi coming to pick you up. There's no payment, you store your card. You get at the end and you say cheerio and off you go. I mean, it has transformed the way Londoners move around, that's for sure.
Listen, I'm still getting used to the Oyster thing, so don't start me on the other sort of bits and pieces.
I mean, we were talking about the you know, how we use phones now, and people just use it for what they want, and it does make their life a little bit more, you know, easier to move around. Mm. It saves a lot of time as well. Why would you go out on the street, you know, searching for a taxi when you can tap your app and you've got a virtual hail and the taxi's to, you know, just a couple of streets away. So it has transformed, and I'm sure it'd be a massive success in Leeds.
And of course, not to be confused with the HAL 9000 computer, which is something completely different and might become homicidal in all sorts of ways.
It's very different. I think, yeah, if Halo starts to take over the world and rule our lives, I think we just have to bow down and accept that. But I think the side of things that people often don't think about is the kind of the back end of that what's actually happening is a far more efficient use of the taxis, of the taxi drivers. And when you think of that on just one guy in one cab, it does make a big difference. But when you think of 14,000 cabs being used more efficiently, taking more cars off the road, allowing more journeys more efficiently in London, that's what this has proven, that Russell will confirm it, but the cabbies have more people in the back of the cab, which you can say, oh, well, that's a big advantage for the taxis, but let's remember, it's also a big advantage for us. If that taxi's driving around with no one in it, it's a waste of the journey, it's a waste of the fuel, it's all those the problems associated with that. If it's actually doing the job, it's brilliant, and that's what this, I think, is really interesting about this system, is that it's integrated really carefully. What's going on in the background is really brilliant, the way the taxis move, where the sort of central system will know where that taxi is going to end up, so it can then lock it on to the next job in the most efficient way where it's the nearest. You know, it's that sort of stuff, which would be very hard to do even with fax machines, going back just that far.
I look forward to the day when the taxi driver actually says, you'll never believe I had the back of my cab these days. It's Halo and etc.
But that is one of the things, the great advantage of this. You could have a on your little icon that the taxi driver can see, it can say, loves to hear gossip about who was in the back of the cab. That's what I'm going to put on mine.
Let's do very briefly, Robert, because time is tight, but I'm going to introduce you to Reverend Marie Edwards here. Marie, a big fan of Red Dwarf, I believe.
Yes, I used to watch that when I was younger, yep.
In fact, in many ways, it improves your spiritual sort of rationale when you're actually, as full-time chaplain for the James Cook University.
I'm sure it's got a massive impact on what I'm doing now, yes.
Anyway, Marie, any quick questions you want to raise at this stage?
How much fun you must have had playing the part that you played. You know, I mean, how did you kind of react when you heard that was the type of part that it was going
to
be?
It's very hard to imagine. It was a long time ago. It was a very confusing thing. I must admit, I think I thought I would wear some sort of space age helmet that I would take off and then have lunch with all the other actors until I realised I'd be just stuck in a rubber head for the whole day. sucking a milkshake through a straw.
Hot and sweaty.
Hot and very unpleasant.
Worth noting, and I have to also point out that I know, Marie, you're concerned about Woman Wizard. It was just a joke, okay?
It was a joke.
I couldn't believe it, but there you go. I want a counterpart, that's the thing. Why only a wife?
No,
where's the husband?
There should be the man wizard as well. Help women understand their weird husbands.
We'll look to that. So there's been fantastic touching bits with itself. You mentioned, of course, Halo. You can go to the website and find out all sorts of other bits and pieces within that. There's going to be heaps of stuff to continue to talk about with this, but for the moment, two final questions to your good self, Russell and Robert Llewellyn. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
It's been fascinating to actually talk to someone over the wires.
I know! It's so quaint!
You can always jump in a Halo cab and have a conversation with a cab driver.
Well, that's true. So, allowing for technology, can we hopefully look forward to connecting with you both again in the not-too-distant future?
Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
There we are, Robert Llewellyn and Russell, of course, from the fantastic group Halo. Many thanks indeed. Take care and speak again soon.
Thank you.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival. More than a literary festival. More than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting, podbean.com, probably the best download decision you'll ever make.